Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Stella Bronson to commence another episode of Office Wife.
I've just come back from lunch with Marcia Pilgrim. That was her idea. And for the first time since I've known her, I don't want to sound corny, but we were honest with each other. It was because of Hattie Palmer. I told Marcia that if she didn't let Jeff know exactly how he stood with Hattie Palmer, I would. And that was the understanding we parted on. Poor Jeff. He had to have old Benny Puller's accounts ready for audit by Friday. That's the day after tomorrow. Unless he works all night, I don't see how he can possibly do it. Come in.
Well, hello, Stella.
Good Lord, Jeff. I was just sitting here thinking about you. What's doing? Aren't you busy?
Busy? The most frightful foul-ups happened. It's all my fault. I managed to give Marcia some totally wrong directions, and all our rebate lists are in a thorough, hopeless mess.
Oh, what a rotten shame.
I've only one hope of straightening the tangle out, and you're it. Are you ready, Ron?
What do you want me to do, exactly?
Could you sort out all that stuff we've shoveled over to in the last couple of days? Get someone to take it to my office and help me out till Friday?
No, I could not.
Oh, be a good lass. I'm really in a hurry.
I won't set foot in the Bendigo building, Jeff. Not for you or Benny Fuller or the King of Siam. And I think you know why.
I suppose that's that. Thanks, just the same.
Well, don't rush off in a huff. If you'd like to bring all your stuff here and work for the next 2 days in my office, I'd love to help you out.
Well,
please yourself. I'm only trying to do the right thing.
Now, who's in a huff? It's a deal, Stella. Give me an hour and I'll be with you. Shall I see Benny about it?
That's Jeffrey, darling. You can leave to me.
Oh, you're an angel. I better bolt for my life.
But tell me, was it really your fault? Or Marcia's?
Does that matter?
I think I know. Poor kid, I can just imagine how she feels. You better tell her to come around, too. What's happening, Jeff?
I'm moving to Stella's office till the job's cleaned up. She wants you to come, too. Actually, darling, we'll never get through without you.
Don't be silly, Jeff. I'm only trying to coat the pill.
But I really wish you would. We'll be there till midnight at the very earliest. Change your mind, isn't it, Joe?
No.
I'm not liking this, Marcia. But I promised your uncle and I promised Benny Puller that these figures would be ready by Friday. And they're going to be.
It's all right, really.
Oh, darling, this time, promise me you won't get any silly ideas.
I shan't. Jeff.
What, Marcia?
I'm sorry I messed up all your figures.
Oh, that's all right. Lord knows we all make mistakes.
Yes, but I'm a lot sorrier I made that scene.
Oh, forget it. You were upset when you came back from lunch with Stella, weren't you?
Yes.
Let's straighten it out when I get home tonight, eh? Will you tell Millie to shunt any important calls through to Stella's office at Puller's?
Oh, Jeff, I think I can do that for you without messing it up.
Oh, come along, darling, back up. We'll be roaring our heads off about this in a day or two.
Jeff, if you're going to Stella Bronson, I wish you'd go. Because if you stand there being magnanimous for one more second, I'm going to be sick.
I'll see you tonight.
Oh, what can I do? If it had been anyone but that Bronson woman, anyone. Oh, where's something I can smash?
I won't say this isn't a pleasure, Marcy, because it is. But I thought you and I won't see each other like this anymore.
Jeff's working at Bronson's office, and it's important. Did you know I had lunch with her today?
My spouse didn't report that.
Well, Harry Palmer, I did. The result might cost you your job and me my marriage.
Exactly what was the meaning of that, my petal?
Harry, just this once, tell me something truly. Do you love me?
What?
I can't be so shattering. I merely asked, did you love me?
Marcia, darling, you know I have for years. I don't wear my heart on my sleeve sort of thing, and you're married to Jeff. Madison, do tell me what's going on.
It's Stella Bronson. She told me that you loathed Jeff. That all the time you've been posing as his best friend, you've been moving heaven and earth to have him disgraced, sacked, and divorced from me.
Stella said that?
Yes, every word of it, and more. She says it's time Jeff was told about you. Oh, Harry, it isn't true, is it? It can't be true. I've always thought that anything you did was because you loved me, and... Harry told me it isn't true. I don't know whether I'm standing on my head or my heels.
Of course it isn't true, you little idiot. What did Stella mean about Jeff being told?
She says she knows everything about you. And she's only kept quiet all this time. Because the moment she tells, she'll be exactly in the same light.
Now listen to me, Marcy, and listen carefully. Stella Bronson is some kind of maniac. She's crazy. She wants your husband. And she doesn't care who she hurts or what she does to get him. Does that make sense? Haven't you seen it with your own eyes?
She's given me a week.
For what?
To tell Jeff all there is to tell about you and me.
Well, haven't you already?
You know I haven't.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. I'm frantic. Jeff left me once, and if he finds out that you and I were plotting and scheming together to trap him with Stella Bronson... Oh, it's all so beastly and ugly. I don't know how I could have listened to you.
A week, eh? All right. I'll have to get you out of it.
How?
Make a clean breast of everything to Jeff myself.
But is Stella right about you?
No, of course not. I don't know what she actually told you, but it's a farrago of nonsense. I've always been very fond of Jeff, and I always will be. But if Stella's put you in this spot, all I can do is get you out of it. And when all said and done, I was torn two ways, my friendship for Jeff and my friendship and affection for you. Do you understand?
I suppose so.
Well, whatever you do, leave everything to me. Don't say a word to Jeff. Just leave it to me and I'll clear it up within the week. Promise?
If you do.
I'll give you my word, Marcia.
All right, Annie.
Good lass. And now that's over, it might be a good idea if you went home. Is your car outside?
Up the street a little.
Well, off you go then. I'll follow you in a few minutes. And do cheer up. I don't think I've ever seen you looking so miserable.
I've never been so miserable. Goodbye, Harry.
What a perfect situation. Long before the week is up, Marcia, your Jeffy boy will be in real trouble. And this little contretemps will be insignificant. And then La Bronson can tell all the stories she likes.
The flat to see you quickly enough. I'm so scared I could hardly work the switchboard. This is only Wednesday night, and between now and Friday, anything might happen.
I've told you before, only one thing can happen to spoil it. That's if we lose our heads.
I wish you hadn't included me.
You insisted on it, remember? When you found the receipt for that post office box at Port Kensitor, and when you poked about at my desk and found Betty Puller's notepaper.
But you're sending Jeff Pilgrim to jail. He might be there for years, and he's nice. I can't go on with it.
You'll go on with it, or take a little of the same medicine. It's too late to turn back now.
Oh, why did I have to get mixed up in a thing like this?
Now listen, Pilgrim won't go to Quad. They'll kick him out. Marcy will divorce him, and they'll just tell him to disappear. Can't you get that into your head?
How do you know?
Because old Tressida Bendigo will never prosecute a chap who's one of his own family. Oh, pull yourself together for the love of mercy, can't you, Millie?
Uh-oh.
Well, I collected the second check today, the one for 2,200. And 2,000 of it's already been deposited in Jeff Pilgrim's account. There's not a thing to go wrong.
But I go hot and cold all over.
Pour yourself a drink. Now, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Pilgrim will turn his figures and accounts over to Benny Puller sometime on Friday. Puller's accountants will start their audit, and the first thing they'll find is the non-existent Barker agency with over 3,000 paid through it in a couple of weeks. Pilgrim okayed it. Pilgrim authorized payment on it. There's no letter of authority as he's going to claim. More than half the money is lying in his own account. I tell you, Millie, it's watertight.
It may be watertight, but it's rotten. Rotten, Harry Palmer, rotten, rotten, rotten! And so are you. And because I fell for you, I never saw it till now.
Millie, shut up.
No!
Shut up, do you hear me? I've gone too far, Millie. And I'm not going to quad because you couldn't keep quiet.
But Harry...
Nothing must get in the way now, Millie. Not even you.
I didn't know it would come to this. Honest, I didn't. I couldn't help it if I fell for Harry Palmer. But if I could see any way out, I'd take it. Oh, so quick. I'd have to find a way. I couldn't live with a thing like this on my conscience. Maybe if I was to go to Mr. Bendigo...
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.